This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
We honor you, Jesus.
Jesus, the mystery of Christ is in you. The mystery of the Father, you embody it, and the ministry of God. All this mystery and your ministries. Thank you, Jesus. I honor you, Son of God. Blessed be your name, O God. Thank you for the blessing that you are giving to us in the midst of the church. We thank you for the opening of the eyes. Thank you for recovering of sight. Thank you, Jesus. We honor you. Our heart is grateful to you, Jesus. Blessed be your name, O God. In Jesus' name we are praying. Amen. While we were considering the things of the world to come, And we say the things of the world to come are good and perfect things. They won't be approved or accepted of the Father until the Son of God will make you good. It is the Son, because the God is good and God is perfect. The Father is good and perfect. So the word of the Father and the word of God, according to that, Colossians 2:2 and John chapter 20, the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, of the Father and of Christ. The mystery of God and of the Father. Then of Christ. So we know that you need Christ before you can assess the being of the world to come. The being of the world to come. Christ is the doorway. Christ is the making of a new man to come into to assess the word of the Father and God. And the word of the Father and God is the word to come. We read it from Book of Revelation that this being at which is to come from Revelation chapter 1, the one that said, you know, is it who is and is to come. So you find that from Revelation 11 also. 11. So in Revelation 1, Revelation 4, Revelation 11, they kept on talking about, he that is upon the throne, the Lord Jesus Christ, and even the seven lambs before the throne, they are all beings to come. So the world to come is their own war. The world to come is the reality of life, the nature, the substance, and the being before the word of the Creator, the word of the Creator, not the word of creatures. So the world to come is the word of creature, because that word was never open. Bible did not tell us the word of creature when they left eternal, when they appear in everlasting. So that word is from that place, the word to come to eternal. That's why. But and that word, which is the word of creator, what you find there is good. Is good and perfect. Is good and perfect. And because that word, their word, by reason of their person, by reason of their nature, by reason of the substances that is in them, that's what magnetized that word. What found it out? It is by reason of what they have on their inside. So to come into, to have said that thing, the least thing you can be is to be good. Because the Father is good. We read it from Matthew 5. God is also good. So the Father is good in Matthew 5. said that you be, that might be children of your father. And I said that when you are good, you say you are children of your father. Children of your father, which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good of the earth, and send rain on the just and on the just. For if you love them who loved you, what reward have ye? Do even the Republican the same. So when you keep reading also, and later, I think that should be Z verse 6, the Father is also is good. In 47, he also said that also about the second nature of the Father. If you salute your brethren, what do you more than others? Do not even the Republicans so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. So you know that the Father in heaven, a big amen, is both good and perfect. Is both good and perfect, which I agree with James. Is both good and perfect. James 1:17. For every good and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variable. With whom? So we saw his word, the word to come inside of them. With whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. There they are describing the inner construct of the Father. The inner construct of the Father, there is no variableness inside him. There are no varying. There's no shadow of turning. That means the Father does not cast shadow. So their word is word of good and perfect. That's the word that they have in Son. And it's from that word that they brought for the realm of the Creator, which is the beginning of the world to come into eternal. Everlasting to eternal is the word to come. The word to come is as a result of their being. It is a result of their being. So you eventually saw also in Matthew 7, talking about also the Father also again. If you then, because to acknowledge the mystery, the mystery of God and the Father is to acknowledge their good. And that acknowledgement is not just with your mouth. It's you acknowledge by becoming it. That's the labor in March. So in Matthew 7, if you then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. So to your children, but as you shall be like children of your Father. So what every parent know, they know how to give good gifts. So there is also, we want to become children of our Father or children of God. Yes. Like what I read in Matthew chapter 5. And I was reading it. I said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. So Matthew 5:9, called children of God.
Yes, sir.
Matthew 5:45, called what? The children of your Father. So when you acknowledge the mystery of God and the mystery of the Father, you come into it as children. The first thing is children. And those children are what Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1 said, be therefore followers of God as their children. And he made mention of what is the order of these children. What should they walk? He said, walk in love as Christ. You cannot be followers of God. You must be a new man or a new creature. A new creature that they want to make good. Because all the creatures of God are good. In 1 Timothy 4:4. For every creature of God is good. Can you see the first thing about the creature of God? When God created it, the creature of God. So this creature of God, this 1 Timothy 4:4, every creature of God is good. Every creature of God is good. So when a man is a new creature, you start end of Christ, where the word of good start coming out from, end of Christ. Charity man is a good man, but it's not as good as God. It's the good of new creation. 1 Timothy 4:4. So you see in last 1 Timothy 4:4 saying every creature of God is good. But when you see that 2 Corinthians chapter 5 from verse 16, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ, though we have known Christ after the flesh. So this half interpretation, but I know it's higher than that. There's a Jesus Christ that came in the flesh. He came in the likeness of simple flesh. That Jesus is the Jesus that was in the middle of Palestine. He was in flesh. So we know, and he was made flesh. Also, John 1:14 said, the word was made flesh and dwell among us. And we bear this glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. 2 Corinthians 5, 16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yo, though we have known Christ after the flesh. But we know that Christ is higher than flesh. Mm-hmm. Yet now, henceforth, know we in no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, because Christ that was in the flesh was a new creature. Jesus Christ that walked on the streets of Palestine was a new creature. How do I know about it? They said about it severally in the gospel. Every time you can say, what man of man is this? They knew that this was another man that was not, if a man being Christ, that is not like kind of a man that everybody know. People knew different kind of prophets. They never said, what man of man is this? They didn't say that about John the Baptist, who was the highest out of everybody born of woman. They never said John the Baptist, they know that kind of man, what kind of man person he is. So they talk about just say, what man of man is this? So it was glaring that they could not tell. He was not answerable to even the first Adam. You cannot trace Jesus to first Adam. He was more superior. He is the last Adam. He was a man. Adam means red man. Adama. Or red earth. But Jesus, they spoke about him in that book of Mark. What manner of man is this? Though he was in the flesh, but he was another kind of man. Matthew 27 says, but the men marvel, saying, what manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him. In Luke 8:25, they said they wondered. This is when, and he said unto them, where is your faith? And they being afraid wonder, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? So it was glaring that the disciples know that Jesus is a new creature. The word of the new creature, Jesus embodied it. It was Christ. So from Jesus being a new creature, but it's not just only Christ is a new creature. But beyond the word of creature, there's the word of creator. Yes. And the word of the creator is the word of the Father and God, which is the word of good, which I was reading for us in Matthew. You also saw the same thing in Matthew 7. I read Matthew 5, where you saw the Father. In Matthew 7, 11, say, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things? So James called that good thing, called it every good gift. Good things to them that ask him. Then James 1:7 said, every good and perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of light, with whom there is no wariness, neither shadow of turning. Then Matthew 4 said, for every creature of God is good. So I wanted to show us something that what's one of the creature of God in that 2 Corinthians 5. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yet though we have known Christ after the flesh. Yet now, henceforth, know we no man. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. So when a new creature, so there is the creature that God created in the book of Genesis, we are good. Genesis 1, 3 to 4, every time God created, you see. Genesis 1, for you to know. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from darkness. And God called the dry land and the gathering together in verse 10 of water caused the sea. And God saw that it was good. So you see that, and that's how they keep on rendering it. Verse 12, and God saw that it was good. Verse 14, okay. And God saw the firmament to give light to the earth. And verse 18 say, and God saw that it was good. And the way, in verse 21, and God saw that it was good. Verse 25, the beast of the field, and God saw that it was good. Then you arrive at the sixth day, and God saw everything. At verse 31 of Genesis 1. And God saw everything that he has made. Behold, it was very good. It's not just that it was good. Everything. The summation of everything that God made that it was very good. They never perfect. They are not perfect. But they were all good. So even in the world of creature, the best of creature, the best of creature, or the former creatures of God, according to Isaiah, called the former creation. The former creation are good. Former creations are good. Or former creatures are good. Even when they were created. Because they were created in the order of everlasting. That one thing that makes them good. Anything that has ability to last is good. When you say, show me good product, because they have everlasting. But it's not only everlasting products are good. Whence is also is a creature, although what God called good was everlasting creature. So also, when in Christ we became new creature, the end of it, our new creation make, we shall attain a good. Though not the good of the creator, but the good of creature. So Christ's life, Christ, the fullness of Christ, let me do it as well, the attainment of a perfect man, the bond of perfectness, a man with unfeigned love, a man with unfeigned faith, a man that has purified his soul, a man with a pure heart that have done commandment of faith. He has purified his heart and purified his conscience. And he has renewed the spirit of his mind as I come into a state of a good man. Because he has come, arrived, a good man who is a creature. Is a creature that is good. Is a creature that is good. So when you see a man that has obeyed Christ to the end, because he has used faith on faith, he has used love on faith, he has obeyed the truth that is in Christ. So the end of the truth that is in Christ will make you to be a good man. Joka was teaching about it. Say, scarcely with a good man. Scarcely with what in book of Romans? Romans 5. In this Romans 5, they are teaching about faith. Yes, faith from verse 1 of that Romans. And assessing the word of grace, yes, where you stand, will brought you justification of faith. Yes. Therefore, being justified by faith, that means when faith on faith, which is the truth that is in Christ Jesus, this faith on faith, which is for 1 Timothy call it the commandments. You call it the commandment of faith on faith in 1 Timothy 1:5. And that faith on faith will make the conscience good. Because the conscience cannot be good. So this is the effect of faith. So the effect, the first thing the conscience will become, the conscience will make good. A big amen. Amen. So bring, when you come through faith, the conscience become a good thing and a pure heart. So the summation of that thing is good. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Peace with God. And I say, every man that has peace with God are called children of God. That was Matthew 5. Blessed are what? Peacemaker, for they shall be called children of God. That's why peacemaker, they are made peace with God and man. Because you can't make peace with God if you are not made peace with man. And you can't make peace until you have obeyed faith and use faith to purify your conscience. Your conscience is the room inside your soul. And also you have purified your mind, or you have renewed the spirit of your mind through faith and unfeigned love. Unfeigned faith and unfeigned love. So something says you have peace with God, because the end of this faith, justification does not come at the beginning. Just a man that can be justified is a soul that have attained godliness. They don't justify you because you have done righteousness alone. They justify you because you have done godliness. You must not be a doer of righteousness of faith unto godliness. You have obeyed, that means you have obeyed faith unto love. You have obeyed faith, you have obeyed hope. Your hope is no longer vain hopes. You don't have hope for the things that are present and the things that pass away. You are not looking at things that is perishing. Your faith is based on things that abide, things that remain, things that endure. And the things that endure are faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest of all these things that abide is charity. That is the greatest in that region. Those are the things that show to you that this junction, when you push your soul into the greatest that abideth in Christ, is that abideth in the war of now. Because there's a war of now, and there was the war of that which to come. Or the war of then. Now I'm teaching about things of the world to come. Things of the world to come is then. That is how 1 Corinthians 13 put it. Then. But it's now. There's the war of now. The war of now is the word of new creation. The war of then is the war to come, which is the war of the Father and God. A big amen. That's the word that the Son of God is manifesting. That's the word that the Son of God is come to reveal, is to show the things of the Father and the things of God. So in that 1 Corinthians 13, he called it, now we see through a glass darkly. So it's the war of now, is the war of new creation. And the end of the war of a new creation is that you become a good thing. A good thing. A good thing. A good thing. Like Paul was teaching also in Timothy, in 1 Timothy. For he that desire the office of a bishop, desire a good thing. Then, when he stated the office of a bishop, you see that who a bishop should be is a good man, which is that person must be a Christ being.
Yes, sir.
Nobody should be a bishop until he has learned Christ. That's no criteria for a bishop. Although, he was in early church, in Romans, in Acts of Apostles 6-7, the people that they choose to be a deacon were men that are full of Holy Ghost. And have good reports. Even in Holy Ghost, there's good. The end of a good report. I mean, good character. Good character, big behavior. You know how to behave yourself in the church. We saw a bad egg amidst them. Which was what? Ananias and Sapphira. They are the bad one. They want good reputation. They want name among apostles and name among brethren. They were jealous of Barnabas. When you have, anytime you have jealous about your brother, either their spiritual gift, or you have jealous of them having good name among brethren, and you begin to jealous. Why did Solomon start the brother alone? Something you fell off is because you are not even good. You don't have good, you don't have honest reports. You don't have good report among brethren. That thing that is calling that, you know, that is a thing. Oh man, when you have jealousy, when I begin to talk down on your brother because everybody is talking about now, it's God that knows that who is good though. Nobody is good though. Or that thing is a sign that you are, don't have good report. You don't have, you go around, God cannot report of you being good. Holy Ghost cannot bear report of you. Neither can your brethren bear report of your goodness. Even in learning Holy Ghost, you know, I told you something. I say, all the seven spirits before the throne, they are all entities of the world to come. It's Holy Ghost personality is good. Even there's a kind of when you do Holy Ghost very well, you are full of Holy Ghost and you are full of faith and you are full of wisdom. What wisdom of Holy Ghost will teach you is love work. What wisdom of Holy Ghost teaches primarily is love work. The wisdom you can find out if what the Holy Ghost is teaching, even the strong meat of the word, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, for the wisdom which Holy Ghost teaches, compares spiritual thing to spiritual. For no man knoweth the things of a man, except the spirit of a man, like no man know the things of God, except the spirit of God. Yea, for us have not seen, neither air, neither enter to my word, God have prepared for them that loved him. So you can see that what Holy Ghost is teaching the things of God is for them that loved him. So when you have the wisdom, say they are full of men or men with good, honest report or good report that has faith, are full of faith and wisdom. The wisdom of Holy Ghost, the wisdom of Holy Ghost teaches you is to love all the brethren or to love all the saints. The wisdom of Holy Ghost will teach a soul is to love work. Holy Ghost will teach you to forgive. Holy Ghost will teach you to love other saints. Holy Ghost will teach you not to think, even when other saints do something, Holy Ghost will not teach you to be suspicious of them. The teaching of the wisdom of which Holy Ghost will teach in the meek of the Lord Jesus, what Holy Ghost will teach is love. Because Holy Ghost is a being of love.
Yes, sir.
Holy Ghost is our mother. Holy Ghost will cast in your heart the love of a mother to a child. The love of mother to his child. Because Holy Ghost is our spiritual mother. So Holy Ghost will do that saint. Holy Ghost will teach you to love your other saints. Because Holy Ghost is our mother of us all. The person that is mothering the church is Holy Ghost. The person that is fathering the church, when the church arrives at receiving the fatherhood training, is our Lord Jesus Christ that will serve as a father. The Son of God will serve as a father to us. The person that do mother role in the midst of the church is the Holy Ghost. The person that play the role of spiritual fatherhood is the Son of God. So the role of the Son of God does not come until Holy Ghost has murdered us very well. Holy Ghost will murder us until we are Christ. We are Christ-like. We are godly. That is when Holy Ghost will let the Son of God assume the role of spiritual fatherhood in our life. So we have the role of mother, spiritual mother, in the things of the Spirit, and our spiritual father in the Spirit. So our spiritual mother is Holy Ghost. And so what a mother, we know that something about a mother and his children is the love of a mother. Even Isaiah said, will the mother forget the child of her womb and the child of her suckling? Isaiah chapter 4:49-15. Can a woman forget her suckling child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget you. Behold, I have engraven thee upon the palms of my heart. Thy words are continually before me. So yeah, there was something that this Isaiah 49 said, that the mother, a woman, will not have compassion on the son of her womb. It is even a son. It's not just a child anymore. It means a second child. And a child that grows on his son. So I think a mother never stops having compassion. And compassion, mercy, and what? And love. And if Holy Ghost is our spiritual mother, and you want to say they are full in that Isaiah, look among you, men that are of honest report, good report, men that are full of faith, full of Holy Ghost and wisdom. So we can see that what Holy Ghost will teach. Holy Ghost will teach you faith and love. The wisdom of Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost will teach you, is faith and love. That is what Holy Ghost will teach you. You'll find out about that in Ephesians chapter 1:15 and Colossians. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love for all the saints. So Holy Ghost is a teacher of faith and love that is in the Lord Jesus, not in Christ Jesus, in the Lord Jesus. There's a faith and love that's in Christ Jesus. There's a faith and love that is in the Son, Jesus Christ. There's a faith and love in the Lord Jesus. There's a faith and love that is in Christ Jesus. There's a faith and love that is in the Son of God. So at this different level of structures that Jokers are telling to, he has his faith and love. They are not different, but it's a growth. It's an ascension in faith. An ascension in love. It's not that it's a different faith, but it's an ascension. It's a faith that's climbing. It's a faith that kept climbing until he attained to them is most holy. So they call the faith in the Son of God most holy faith. They call the faith, the love in the Son of God, they call the love of God. That's how Jude rendered them. He called them most holy faith, and he called them the love of God in Jude 1:20-21. But you building up yourself, you build up. Can you say you build up? You build up faith. You must keep building up faith until you arrive there. And be your beloved, building up your faith on your most holy faith. Praying the Holy Ghost. And Holy Ghost is going to start building our faith. It's Holy Ghost that build it up. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So you have to build up yourself until you arrive at most holy faith and you arrive at most holy love. So most holy love is the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So that's what I said those are the faith and love that's in the son of God. His faith and love that is the son of God. He gave his son, beloved son, his beloved son. So you can see, so and you also find the same thing. So you can see that the faith and love in the Lord Jesus, the end of it, when you follow that faith, you attain a wisdom of life. So in that act of apostle, they should look about, I mean, there's a man that have honest report or good report. Full of Holy Ghost. So full of Holy Ghost means men that are full of faith and love for the saints. They are full of faith and love in the Lord Jesus. They are full of faith and love in the Lord Jesus. So when they say that full of Holy Ghost means they are full of faith and love, yeah, in the Lord Jesus. And because we saw it later in 6:5, after they said, look among them. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith. So you can to be full of Holy Ghost, to be full of faith. And of Holy Ghost, what's Holy Ghost there? Love and wisdom of life. I saw Holy Ghost is bringing me down. And that there's a good that you must attain into at every milestone. But it's the good of the world to come. But is this good is the good of the Lord Jesus. And they made Jesus here on earth. Joker was made both Lord and Christ. So both Lord is Lord and Christ are his what? His new creation order. Because when you receive Holy Ghost quicken you. Your spirit became Christ, new creation in your spirit. Christ, your new spirit. Your original spirit is Christ. And it's a new creation. So the new creation is a good. So when you follow what Holy Ghost quicken you, you are dead in sin and trespasses. When in time passed, you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Verse 3 and 4. Among whom also we had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind. And we are by nature the children of wrath, even as order. But God, who is rich in mercy, who is rich in mercy for his great love, where he has loved us, when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. So we know that Christ is a new creation. For if you might be in Christ, it's a new creation. It's a new creature. So the beginning of new creature is our regenerated spirits. So our spirit is a new creature. And the being that quickened us is the Holy Ghost. For if the spirit that raised Christ, or Christ dwells in you, he that raised Christ, we shall go, shall quicken your mortal body. So the spirit, the letter killer, the spirit that quickened it. Holy Ghost is a quickener. So Holy Ghost was the one that quickened us. It is our mother. We are born. They call it, we are born of the spirit. Holy Ghost begat our regenerated spirit, our created spirit from the womb of Holy Ghost. It's from the womb of Holy Ghost that our spirit man was created. Holy Ghost took the things of the Lord Jesus Christ to quicken us. He used the things of the Lord. He used the righteousness of Christ. He used the gift of the righteousness of Christ to quicken us. What they used to quicken us is the gift of righteousness of Christ. And he imparted within our soul, into our soul, the gift of grace where we can believe. The Holy Ghost is the one that did that. And imparted the gift of the Holy Ghost to our spirit. So Holy Ghost can dwell in our spirit and begin to shed light of love into our heart. So from our spirit is shedding light of love. And the beginning of shedding light of what? Of love from our spirit into our heart, into our soul, which was Romans 5 that I was already. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. By whom also we have access by faith unto this grace. There's this grace. Wherein, it's a grace, wherein we stand and rejoicing in the hope. So when you are this rejoice, we rejoice in the hope of the glory, but there's a grace that stand. This standing is to have a stand in the holy place. Is to have a stand in the holy place. This stand is a stand that a man that is in Christ is a new creature. If a man be in Christ, is a new creature. This standing is to have stand in the ground. Is to stand and a ground in Christ Jesus. So when you're already in Christ, you have hope of the glory of God. Hope of the glory of God. What's the hope of the glory of God? That is the word of most holy. Want to assess things of the glory of God. You are hoping for the glory of God. Why do you assess Christ? Can you have this hope? How does this hope come from? Colossians 1, 26 and 27. That's this. How this hope comes from. Even the mystery which has been hid from the ages and from generation, but now it's made manifest to his saints. So how does they have his saints? His saints are those who have faith and love in the Lord Jesus. And then they open their eyes. They now begin to teach them. There's the mystery which are being hid from ages and from generation. This mystery, Ephesians chapter 3 also make mention of this mystery also. So they only give this mystery to his saints. And what are those saints? Ephesians 3 from verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, preacher of the Lord Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. You are Gentiles. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me, to you all, by revelation, he made known to me the mystery. Can you see the mystery which was it? As I followed in few words, wherefore, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So this mystery that in all ages, Colossians call in all ages, and what? In all ages and from generation. Colossians call it ages and dispensation, ages and generation. Ephesians 3 call it, in verse 2, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given unto me, it made unto me the mystery, as I forewrote a few words, how by when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Verse 5 say, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, but is now revealed unto us, unto all his holy apostles and prophets by the Holy Ghost, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body. The Gentiles, they should be heirs of God and joint heir with Christ. That is how Galatians render it. So can you see that Gentiles should be a fellow heirs and of the same body? I mean, every spirit of Gentiles should be engrafted to the spirit of Christ. And every soul of Gentiles should be engrafted to the body of Christ. So every spirit of Gentiles should be accepted to Christ, the spirit of Christ. They should be one with the spirit of Christ. And every soul of Gentiles should be what? Engrafted into the body of Christ. The body of Christ is on earth. Where the earth of Christ, fellow heirs of Christ, they should be partakers of the same spirit with Christ and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Verse 7 says, wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints. It is grieving that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. That is first thing. So the first thing that I need to preach is the unsearchable riches of Christ. Can you see? To preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. But not only also that, that's not only that. And preach the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. So we saw in the mystery there are two things. Yes, the mystery has riches and there is the mystery has fellowship. So you won't find the fellowship of the mystery if you have not undo the riches of the mystery. You need the riches to find the fellowship of the mystery, because the fellowship of the mystery is fellowship with the person of Christ. You must first of all fellowship with the things of Christ. You must also have access to the riches before you will come into the fellowship with the mystery, because there's a fellowship with Christ. The way you cannot fellowship with the Holy Ghost if you don't have the things of the Lord Jesus. And the things of the Lord Jesus is the faith and love. Wisdom there is the wisdom of life. It's the conversation of Holy Ghost. Part of the conversation of Holy Ghost that we read in Acts of Apostles is that they say in Acts of Apostles from chapter 2 majorly. Yes. From 41 in Acts 2. You also see the same in 3 and 4. And then they that gladly receive his word were baptized. And in the same day, his word is the word of the Lord Jesus. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continue supporting this apostle doctrine and fellowship. What's apostle doctrine? Is the riches. Then fellowship. What's fellowship? Is a fellowship of the Holy Ghost. So the doctrine there is riches. Then you need to fellowship with the doctrine and you need to have access to the doctrine. They continue steadfastly in apostle doctrine, which are to do with the word. Before you can fellowship with the person of the Holy Ghost. And then there's a conversation that both the world and fellowship, both the riches and fellowship with the person of the Holy Ghost did for them. In breaking of bread, in prayers, with sincerity of heart, and no one dare say had anything of his own, for they have everything together in common. So I just want you to see this template. The same template was what Paul was teaching this Ephesians. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Before you go into the mystery, you must also preach the riches. There's the riches of the mystery and the fellowship of the mystery. When you move into fellowship of the mystery, you are fellowship with the person. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world have been hid in God. Hid in God is Christ that's hid in God. Christ is hid in God. There's a being that's hid in God. Colossians 3. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ and in God. For when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, so that Christ is hid in God. What does it mean to hid? Because Christ is a foundation. Just the way you build the foundation of God, you hide the foundation of God. You bury the foundation of God. So when you say he's hid, and Christ is buried in God, carry eternal life, it's Christ. Christ is a life that carry eternal life. Eternal life is erect on something. Eternal life is standing on something. Eternal life is standing in the foundation of a life that is in God. And that foundation of life that is in God is Christ. And Christ is hid in God. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. I love that word. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Is hid with Christ in God. So Christ is hid in God. So that's what that Ephesians 9 was saying. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Is the mystery which from the beginning of the world have been hid in God. When you begin to read Proverbs chapter 8, Proverbs chapter 8, you didn't see Christ because Christ was hid. What you eat there is from everlasting to everlasting. They put everlasting upon everlasting.
Yes.
From everlasting to everlasting in the Proverbs 8, Proverbs 8 from 18. Riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. Riches and honor are with me. What is honor? It's a glory of the Lord to conceive a matter. It's not the king to sack them out. Things that I eat in God, which is Christ, I eat in God, to search it out. That which is eat. So riches. Riches are riches and honor. Everlasting to everlasting also riches. Yea, durable riches. And righteousness. My fruit is better than good. That's Proverbs 8, 18 and 19 now. Yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substances. So these substances are inheriting are substances which are riches. And I will feed their treasure. These two things there. To cause them to inherit substance, and also I will feed their treasures. So they have treasure, which are substances, but I will feel it. Wisdom say, I, wisdom, will feel it. The person of wisdom will feel that treasure. I will feel that treasure. I. It's not things. They have treasure, but I will feel that. They have treasure. The treasure is their riches that they have acquired. Durable riches. Then I will feel that treasure. That's the fellowship with the person of wisdom. But wisdom, first of all, made them to inherit substance. Then wisdom itself, I will feel it. I will feel it. It's like this word. Open your mouth and I will feel it. I will feel it. I will feel their treasures. That their treasure, for a man's treasure is in his heart. That means what their treasure, my riches, their heart, I will now come to feed those treasure. That they will not only have treasure, they will also go to have me, wisdom in them. That I may cause those that love me, that love me. First of all, they love me wisdom. They that love me to inherit substance. Then after they inherit substance, then I that they love will feed their treasures. Because I know the emphasis recently have been first of all with the world, which is spirit, before we can have access to the person. That we don't just have access to the person until we are deal with treasure, riches. We are draw deal with things of the person. So we see them play out throughout the Bible. But when it comes to the Lord does not only possess my things, substances. Verse 22. The Lord possesses me, not my treasures, not my substances. The Lord possesses me. It's me. It's my personality that the Lord possessed. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his ways, before his works of old. So what are these works? Creature, work of old. Isaiah also called these works of old, the old things in Isaiah. Old things, and what you call former things. In his works of old. This is when they were creating heavens and earth. Remember not yet the former things, neither consider the things of old. So what you call old here, the creation of God. When God was created, Genesis 1, God created the heavens and earth, and that populated the heavens. And later came, also in verse 46, 9 to 10. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there's no ends. I am God, and there's none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times. the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. So you saw wisdom, talking that wisdom, 8:22. So the Lord possessed me. So the Lord there is the creator, yes, of the ends of the earth. Yes, because you find this Lord in Isaiah 40. Yes, have you not heard the Lord, the everlasting God? The Lord there is the everlasting God. It's everlasting God. Isaiah 40, 28. Had I not known, had I not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, who is what? The creator of the ends of the earth. The everlasting God. The creator of the ends of the earth. Possess me in the beginning of his way. Before his works. Or what is that word? His creatures of old. So his works, Isaiah 46, 9 to 10. Call it former things. And 9. The Lord possesses the beginning of his way. Before his works. I was set up from everlasting. He's talking about his person. I was set up from everlasting. From the beginning, or even the earth was. When there was no depth, I was brought forth. When there was no fountain abounding with water, before the mountain we are set to, before the E was I brought forth. When the Lord, the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, where he has not made the earth, he has not made the field, he has not made the heaven, nor I, part of the dust of the earth. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the deep, when he established the cloud above, when he stretched the fountain of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought off with him. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of the earth. My delight, we are with the sons of men. They move from him, be with many others. After your creature, they move into that. Now, therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. This is what wisdom talking. But this wisdom is Christ. This is the wisdom that hid in God. Say, God brought him forth. God went into God's foundation and inside himself. God, so I said that the foundation of eternal life and everlasting life was Christ, which was in God. So God brought it out. God was consulting his foundation to make things. Hear instruction, be wise, and refuse it not. Bless the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gate, waiting at the post of my door, for whose findeth me findeth life. What is life? Christ is life. Colossians. Because this life, it was the foundation of God that was hid in the Lord, the everlasting God, the creator of the ends. And this thing was not only hid in the Father. This same thing was hid in the Word. This same thing was hid in the Holy Ghost. Because three of them, that's their foundation. In the Holy Ghost, you will find what is all Christ. In the Word, you will find Christ, which is charity. Likewise, in the Father, you will find Christ. It's their foundation. It's this buried inside of them. Why did the Word of God own it? Because it's the one that came to manifest it. So he owned that title as Jesus, the Christ, or Christ Jesus. He owned it. Because he's the one that came to manifest it. Because that thing was supposed not to be seen. But he's the one that came to show that was beating the Godhead. He came to show that thing that was. Because what wisdom is talking about here, he was talking about before the wisdom was brought forth, before the earth was brought, before the heaven was created, before the cloud, mountain. So wisdom was talking about that, but we wouldn't have known it. It was Christ that came to manifest it. So they say Christ is made unto us. Wisdom,
yes, sir.
Righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. They made Christ to be like that. So it was Christ that embodied that reality that is hidden in God.
Yeah.
The wisdom that was hidden God. Because by wisdom, it's an house built.
Yes.
So what built? And when you're building, what built God? What made up God? What made up the building of God? The building up of God, when God is built, is Christ. And that's wisdom that's hidden. But it took New Testament for us to know that thing that I call wisdom, that is hidden God, that is the foundation in God, is Christ. So the New Testament came to reveal that thing is called Christ. And because that thing is called Christ, it's a good foundation. 1 Timothy chapter 6 from verse 17. So when a man assesses riches of new creation, not riches in this world. If you have any riches in this world, you exchange the riches of this world to attain riches of the world to come. So that you can attain a good state. You can have good foundation in you. Chat them that are rich in this world, but you are not rich towards the world to come. They are poor. They are wretched. Like James said it. You can be rich with idea. You can be rich with ambition. All those things, Paul said, those things that are riches unto me are candle but dung. So a man can be rich in this world, but it's not rich in the world to come. Or look, or it's not rich towards the word of the Fatherland God, which is the word of good, that you can be accepted into the world to come. The word of the Father, which is good. There's something that should be able to lay a good foundation inside of yourself. So if you have riches in this world, and I say riches in this world, you need to trade the riches in this world for riches that is Christ. That's why I read for us both from Colossians, and I read for us both from Ephesians. So Ephesians call it the unsearchable riches of Christ. And the fellowship which from the beginning of the world have been hidden God. And we say, hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. So we know that the thing is hidden God. We read from the book of Proverbs that what is hidden God is wisdom. And also we read Colossians 3-4. And you are dead. And your life is what? Your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, which is our life. So Christ is our life. But that life is called wisdom. That is leading God. It's a foundation. It's the first foundation inside God. It's the first foundation. In God, God has two foundations in God.
Yes, sir.
God has sure foundation in him, and God has good foundation in him. God has good and sure foundation. God has good and sure foundation. So the good foundation in God is Christ. Then God has sure foundation. So foundation is the everlasting foundation.
Yes, sir.
Good foundation is Christ. Wisdom and hidden wisdom. Wisdom is Christ. Hidden wisdom is a sure foundation. That is in God. So, child dead that are rich in this world, so a man can be rich in this world. And to be rich in this world, a man can be rich with goods. I'm talking of physical things. Either money, houses, land. Like that young rich brother that came to Jesus. He has different riches. But one of the first riches that he has riches with goods. But he also has riches of righteousness of the law. And also, he has riches or reputation among his brethren. He was a ruler.
Yes,
so you can see he has riches. So he is rich with goods, substances that are possession. He's rich. He has great possession, which are riches.
Yes,
which is nothing bad if you have grace to have it. But you must be wise. Those are people that Timothy is writing to. That when you have great possession,
yes, sir.
You must know how to trade it for durable riches that wisdom will give to you,
yes,
which is good foundation I want to deliver to you.
Oh.
And that good foundation is the life that is hidden God, which is Christ, that is making unto you wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That wisdom, that good foundation is a person, it's a life. So you must want to be rich with those things that which I will read it for you in that Colossians, which he called it unsearchable riches. I need that riches. So if I'm rich with great possession, I must be wise. Holy Ghost must teach me. Which you started seeing Holy Ghost teaching every sin that continue in apostle doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
And in fellowship.
Yes, sir.
And in breaking of bread. And in prayers. Meeting from house to house. They sold those goods. 44 out 2. And all they that believe together. And all they that believe, we are together. Can you see the conversation? They were together. This is a conversation. When you don't like to be together with brethren,
yeah,
when you want to leave where there's no brethren there, something's wrong with your own believing.
Yeah.
All that believe, we are together. For now, they are together at heart, and also they love to be together. When you like to be together with your colleague in the office, those are when we see the best out of you. When you are with your biological family, when you are with your colleague at work, don't be hot. You don't be a mediocre there. You want to carry out the conversation. You must develop communication skill, relationship skill. We saw Joka was like that.
Yes,
Joka has had friends with Pharisees, Sadducees, tax collector. Joka has had a good relationship. He met a woman that he had never met in life at the way and generated a good conversation with her. So Joka was also a mediocre. So Joka could relate with, and the woman has married, is it 5 different men and was with the 6th one. No, Joka was not doing religious holiness. A color conversion with her. So I'm not saying that you should be mediocre, you should separate your, but I'm saying that separation with those who are with that should be in your heart, not with your body, not inside with your body. So long as they're not going to make you sin, So now, Lord, they don't make you to deny righteousness and godly life. You should not be a mediocre. You should be sound in words. You'll be sound in your mind. You should have sound words. When they are speaking bogus word, when they are speaking unclean word, you're watching people to keep them at check.
Yes,
you are power of Holy Ghost.
Yes,
you are full of Holy Ghost. And you are not being, you're not saying, shadow, shadow. It's not you're speaking in tongue. Where you're, don't be weird. Eat their food. Joker, they will invite your guys to a feast. Joker will go there and eat. But this is a man that he has speak without measure. To be full of Holy Ghost, not for you to be closing your eyes when you are with your colleague at work. No. Or when your family that don't believe message, it's not for you to be acting weird and they start thinking that something's wrong with you mentally. Don't do that. Talk to them. Love them. Show conversation of a man that is in love with Jesus and that love people. Forgive them when they speak. Forgive them. Everything God give you grace to do, share with them. But much more, even when you are with your biological family, you are with your colleague, there's more to that desire to be with them. They put this thing in the book of Hebrew 13. They say, we should not forsake the assembly together. They say, out of Apostle 44 say, and they that believe we are together. Hebrew 13 say, do not forsake the assembling. Not forsake the assembly of ourselves together. So we assemble in the spirit. We assemble also bodily. Nobody, I'm assembling together with you. You're with me, my brother, I'm with you, I'm with you. But there's no delight to be physically together with your brother. I'm with you now, I'm with you, my brother. Our soul, our spirit must be together. Likewise, our body must be together. They were together. Hebrews said, do not forsake the assembly of ourselves together. As the manner of some is. But exhorting one another so much more as you see the day approaching. So this conversation in Acts 2, all that believe we are together, that's what you are assembled together, and add all things in common. They have all things together in common. When somebody is celebrating tradition, they are all there.
Yes, sir.
When somebody is doing naming ceremony, wedding, they are there. When somebody is doing birthday, they are there. When you don't like to be together with brethren, something's wrong. Teaching of Holy Ghost, teach us that we that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we should be together in spirit, in soul, and in body. And we should have all things together in common. What is common? That means we believe in community life. When everybody is doing this about deserving community, you are there. When they are doing community according to cell group community, you are there. Not that you are always giving excuses. Or you make sure that you are not one that there. Even when you call in, your heart must be there too. Not that you join online, but your heart is not there. Your mind is somewhere else. You are not together. I'll say, Bible talk about the heart of Apostle chapter 1. They said they were together in one accord. What's the one accord? Their spirit, soul, and body, their heart, their mind were there. Don't just be there online, but your heart is not there. Don't be in the church meeting and your heart is not there. Those are why we take time to pray before meeting, to gather ourselves together and put ourselves together where your mind is not drifting away. You must obey God. You must do commandment of faith and love to make sure your mind is not drifting away. You must assemble physically, assemble in our soul by doing commandments. Look at it, out of Apostles chapter 1:22. And when the day of Pentecost were fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the aura where they were sitting, and a cloven tongue of fire rest upon their head. 44, they had all things together in common, and sold their possession, I want to, and goods, and parted them to all men. So they sold some, and they parted something. So their clothes, their shoes, their sandals, their food, some of the rooms in their houses, they part with some rooms. Because some of them have houses. They had to empty those rooms and part with some rooms. They part some with their clothes. They part from some of their food stuff. They part with some of their money. They part with some of their table that they made. They part with some of the bed they made. Some of them part with some bed sheet that they made for themselves. They have more. And they saw a couple that don't have one. Some of them part with the cooking utensils. They part with their goods and their possession. They sold some and parted with some to all men as everyone had need. That means they identified with the need of their brethren. They identified, and that was the wisdom which Holy Ghost teach them. The doctrine of apostle doctrine state a conversation of life. And what? Faith and love in the Lord Jesus Christ instructed them to live that life. You can't say you are full of Holy Ghost, which means you are full of faith and love. And the wisdom that you attain via the doctrine of faith and love in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are not living like this. It's by their fruit I know them. There are people that, before this thing came, when they were doing this thing, there are men that exert this thing. Men that use this thing, use it. We saw one of them, Barnabas, called to be a deacon. So they appointed him to be a deacon. And when they appointed him to be a deacon, but he was laying the beginning of the foundation within his soul. They say men that have good report, honest report, full of Holy Ghost, and to be full of Holy Ghost, to be full of faith and love in the Lord Jesus Christ. And wisdom, who may appoint over this business? Act 2:44. Sold goods and possession, their goods and possession, and parted with some of them to all men, so every man as every man had need. And they continue daily. Now we'll talk about that they like to be together. They continue daily with one accord. The accord that started from verse 1, they continue in it. After the Holy Ghost, they didn't stop. They continue one accord in the temple. They come to a meeting. If your meeting of your church is once, go there. If your meeting of your church is twice, go there. If some of your meeting of your church is three times in a week, go. If some of them is five times in a week, you go. They continue daily. In the early church, it was every day they are meeting. They will meet in the daytime in the temple. They also meet in the house. They continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. So they say gladness. They must have gladness, yes, on the world. You must have gladness to be with your brethren. Yes, and what? And also with sincerity of heart. So that sincerity of heart is they mean to attain honest heart. That sincerity is different from unfairness. This sincerity is what? Honest of heart. Praising God. And having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. 1 Timothy 6. Child then that are rich in this world. So what brought him to this? I say, so can you see, being rich with possession and goods. Like that young man came to say, he's a good master. Why call me good? Matthew 19. When one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So this man won the foundation of the life. He won the building of the life, which is eternal life. But Jokai know that you can't have eternal life. But you will need to have life. Yes. Look at what Jokai told him in 17. And he said unto him, why call that me good? There's none good but one. That is God. That means he is the Father and God that is good. He's the word to come. That's why the word to come, Paul called it in Hebrews 2:5, whereof we speak. We call it the word to come, whereof we speak in Hebrews 2:5. Yes. For unto the angels did not put in the subjection the word to come, whereof we speak. So the word to come is the things of salvation, which is the things of the Father and God. Because the Lord, which is the Lord, according to the book of Psalm, the everlasting God, the creator of the heavens and earth, who fainted not, neither is he weary. So he said in the book of Psalm, the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies, my foes come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumble and they fail. So for there's the wicked, but not only the wicked, even my enemies and my foes came up to eat up my flesh. What eat of flesh? Corruption. What eat of flesh? Lust of this world. They stumble. But there's the wicked, but there's also my enemies and my foes came up to heat up my flesh. How did they heat up my flesh? They heat up my flesh because putting the law of sin and death in my flesh. For now, therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. It's Romans 8, 1 to 2. Who walk not out of the flesh, but after the spirit. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ, I'm making me free from the law of sin and death. So sin and death eat up the flesh. They consume like a canker. How do they consume? Because they put lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life in the flesh. When you lose them, they eat up your flesh. They eat it up. They will not want your flesh for Christ to be magnified in your flesh. Or like 1 John 2, that Jesus Christ is not come in your flesh. 1 John 2, 1 John 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try every spirit, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out of the world. Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. But when you read 1 John 2, it says that deny that Christ is come in the flesh. Anything that you want to deny Christ, that Christ is not magnifying in your flesh. 1 John 2, who is a liar? But he that denies that Jesus is the Christ, is the Antichrist, that deny the Father and the Son. Those that deny the Son, they say, are not the Father. He that has not the Son, are the Father also. So you can see anything I want to deny that Christ, Jesus is the Christ, and he's come in your flesh. They are your enemies. They are your foes. And the enemies are spirits. You say, try this spirit. They are spirits. Spirit as fallen angel and spirit as laws that are in your inside. That was what that 1 John 4. When he said, try every spirit. Spirit as a law. Or the law that are working in you. The law of sin and death. Because laws are spirits. Laws are spirit. And also nature are spirits. And also workings of sin and death are also spirits. Spirit. Attitude as spirit. Disposition of heart as spirit. Belief as spirit. Mindset as spirit. Wisdom. Wise of the enemy as spirit. So you need to try them. You should try them in your heart. Like, try me and see if there are wicked ways in me. Ways as spirit. Thought as spirit. Try them. There are wicked ways in me. Psalm 139. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thought and see if there are any wicked way in me. And with the way everlasting. So thoughts, ways are all you try. You say, try this spirit. So spirits there are not limited to fallen spirits, angel affair, or woman rejected spirits. But spirit air can be thoughts, ways, motives, values, laws. So you try them. What kind of law that's running me? Is it law that came from false oppression or law that come from antichrist oppression that is inside of me? You try them. You check them on the light of truth that is in Jesus Christ. In the light of truth that is in the Father and the Son. To examine them. Is this thing is a lie? They came from fallen nature, fallen life, fallen thought, fallen ways that have been taught by this world. Below, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why call that me good? There is no good but one, that is God. But if thou will enter into life, not that if we are, first, you need to first enter into life before you can access eternal life. If thou will enter into life, keep the commandments. So the commandment will cause you to enter into life. So you use commandment to enter into life. When you enter into life, you have entered into good. The beginning of good, which is Christ. Now I told you, I said there's a good.
Yes,
a fundamental good that you're able to attain in Christ with a good conscience. So, and you find so saying, but if that we enter into life, keep the commandments. So what does Jokai call commandment there? 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my son, in the faith. Can you see? When you are in the faith. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went unto Macedonia, that thou may charge some. Just like we read in that 1 Timothy 6. Charge some that are rich in the world. This is the 1 Timothy 1. So, can you? It started from 1 Timothy 1. Charge them. So, he kept on charging them. Different charge he gave them. As I charge you. When I went unto Macedonia, that thou may charge some. That teach no other doctrine. There are different things. That those who are teaching, that those who are rich in this world. So, but the first charge, that they teach no other doctrine. Because doctrine is power. Doctrine will produce a manner of person.
Yes.
And doctrine will produce a kind of purpose. And doctrine will give you a kind of conversation.
Yes,
you'll find that in 1 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy 3:10. But thou fully know my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, affliction, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecution I endure, but out of them all, the Lord deliver me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ. So what is in Christ? Godly. I'm talking about righteousness and godly is in Christ Jesus. So faith and love. Faith is righteousness.
Yes, sir.
Godly is love. That is in Christ Jesus. Yea, all that they will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So there is a life that is in Christ Jesus, righteously and godly in this present world. Titus 2:1. For the grace of God has brought in salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us deny ungodliness, and worldly lust, and that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So because we are righteously and living in life, in that Timothy, yea, and all that we live godly in Christ Jesus. So when you say, for the grace of Lord Jesus Christ, grace of Lord Jesus Christ was extending abundant with faith and love in Christ Jesus. So we consider faith and love in Christ Jesus. That Timothee 1, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, way and way to Macedonia, that thou mayest shall sunder the teaching of that doctrine, neither give heed to fable and any other doctrine, which minister question, rather than godly edification, which is in faith. Can you see? Rather than godly edification, which 1 Second Timothy 3 was saying, godly in Christ Jesus. Godly edification, which is in the faith. What's the, this is the faith and love that is in Christ Jesus. So do. Now, the end of the commandment, can you see commandments as I was reading in that Matthew? Now, the end of the commandment is charity. So, the commandment is what you've been of the commandment. You start the commandment with faith and move the commandment into conscience or hope. Yes. And charity is the end. The end of the commandment is charity is the end. Out of a pure heart. That's when you do charity. Charity will make you more purer in your heart. And of a good conscience and of a faith on faith. So, neither give ye to fable and endless genealogy, which minister question, but rather than godly edification, which is in the faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of a faith unfeigned. So you see this, Matthew 19. Now he said unto me, why call that me good? There's none that is good but one, that is God. But if that we enter into life, keep the commandments. The commandment is unfeigned faith, good conscience, and charity out of pure heart. Those are commandments. Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. In Jesus' name.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.